Hello, everybody. It's really good to be back with you. I just got out of a clarity session with a friend of mine out in the Bay Area. This is a guy that woke up with me last summer, and then we had a clarity session last summer. Then I hadn't heard from him for a while. He called in on the teleconference, and I talked to him then. And then we just now talked again in a clarity session. This is a guy that woke up very clearly, and then. And from his point of view, went back to sleep. You can't be anything but awake, but we can have the perspective that we're awake. There's two kinds of awakeness. There's conscious awakeness and unconscious awakeness. So when before he talked to me, he was in unconscious awakeness. He talked to me, he moved to conscious awakeness. A couple of weeks after that, he moved back into unconscious awakeness. So I talked to him, he moved back into conscious awakeness, and he's not lost that entirely since. But he's in that awakening process now. He's in the po he is actually in post awakening. He may have yet some more awakening experiences, or he may not. He doesn't need any more. He's had plenty. He's had two. That's one more than he needed. But you know, we get what we get. So his question today regarded was one that I hear a lot about. So it's the reason I'm addressing it, which was about free will and personal responsibility. And because there's this, you know, we want to have free will. We just do. We just want to have free will. And the good news for you is that we do. And then the bad news is that we don't. It's not either or, it's both. It really is. From the non-dual perspective, it's impossible for us to have free will. From the absolute perspective, it's impossible for us to have free will, because it's been seen very clearly that there's no one home, there's no one here, there's no Fred to have free will or not have free will. So, but that's just a view. That's the absolute view. See, what we tend to equate the absolute view with the non-dual view, but that's not true. That's completely untrue. The non-dual view is that is both the absolute view and the relative view. And on the relative view, we can say, okay, from the non-dual view, the relative is seen to be relatively unimportant. But our experience is still here. I'm not trying to. Why do I want to deny this? I love my wife. I'm not trying to get over that. I love my little dog and I love to play with him. I'm not trying to transcend Willie, you know? I mean, so what I'm trying to do is learn to embrace life exactly as it is, to embrace each moment as it comes. So as a result of that, I've got to honor my experience because here it is. No matter what my view may be, I'm experiencing that I'm here, that there's someone here and there are decisions to be made and all this stuff. So the confusion really comes from this is when we try to wear non-dual philosophy like a jacket, you know, and it's like a straight jacket. It's like a concrete straight jacket because it's not only restricting, it's heavy as hell. It's just not the way to live. The not living non-duality is completely different. We don't have to put on any straitjackets. We don't have to pretend like we reside in the absolute view all the time. I don't. I got a toggle switch. I really do. I can see this all as Fred, or I can see it all through Fred anytime I want. I can be oneness or I can be Fredness either way. It just, you know, I just whichever's most convenient for that moment, whatever it's called for, right? So it's not that one's even better than the other, or one's true and one's not. It's nothing like that. It's just which one is called for, because they're both true, and they both count. Now, granted, the relative doesn't hold the same kind of leverage over me that it used to. The relative view doesn't feel, you know, it's not life or death that things go my way the way that it used to be. So the relative view is held much more lightly than it was. But that's not the same thing as trying to blow past it or ignore it. So the idea of free will is that you're never going to get your head around this. It just doesn't work. I don't understand it. I just know it. And as a result of knowing it and knowing it deep down, then it tends to come out that way in my life. But I'm not, so I don't have to mechanic my way through this anymore. But I did have to mechanic myself for a while. Nothing wrong with doing things manually until they come, quote, naturally. So the free will thing, let me give you back the gift of relativity. If you're stuck in the absolute, let me give you back the gift of relativity and the joy of relativity and the juice of relativity, which is that as long as there's someone there who feels like that there's, as long as it feels like there's someone there, and as long as it feels like there's a decision that that someone needs to make, then just have that someone make the wisest, most compassionate, that someone who doesn't exist, have that someone make the wisest, most compassionate, most loving decision that you can. You'll be able to tell if it's wise, compassionate, and loving because it won't be all about you. If it's all about you, then that decision is coming from Fredness, or, you know, from the personal me. And if it's inclusive of the rights and happiness of others, then it's probably coming from a broader place. So we act as if we have free will. How about that's just the way the game is played? The Bhagavad Gita is all about this. Talks about that, you know, that we give everything our effort, and we let go of the results. We used to talk about this, and they didn't know it's non-dual, but it didn't matter. They used to talk about this kind of thing in recovery, which was, they would say, you know, if you find yourself out in the ocean in a rowboat, then do pray to God for help, and then row like hell at the same time. And that's basically it, folks. I mean, it's just, that's what we do. The way the game is played is we give it our very best, and we don't pay attention to results. We just give this thing the best thing that we give this thing the very best that we have. We're willing to give it the very best that we have. This is all about willingness. I talked to a thoroughly charming and brilliant client in another clarity session earlier today, and she was talking about the culture of willingness. We talked about the recovery is like a culture of willingness. So it really helped me come to a place of willingness that has paid off very nicely in non-duality. So that's the free will thing. You just pretend like you have it. Doesn't make any difference whether you do or do not. But if it comes down to making a decision or something, just pretend like you have it. Do the best you can, and you'll be fine. You can't not be fine. So, but the personal responsibility is a little bit different, because it's, when we see from the absolute view, what we see is that, hell, there's no one home. So I couldn't have ever done anything anyway other than the way I did it, and that's absolutely true. It's not relatively true, but it's absolutely true. I couldn't have done anything any differently. No one can do anything differently, and everything's happening in a specific way, and it's coming from the whole universe is moving. It's not from me. So if that's the case, how can there be personal responsibility? Well, where his question was, where does personal responsibility fall? That was his question. Where does responsibility fall? And there is no personal responsibility. That's absolutely what you're seeing from the absolute view is correct. There is no personal responsibility. There can't be personal responsibility. In other words, Fred can't be guilty of anything because there's no Fred here. Do you see that? So I can't be, and Fred couldn't have done anything other than the way he did, because there's no Fred here. But there is Fredness here. There's a lot of patterns. There's a body pattern here. There's a mental pattern here. There are a lot of patterns that I brought with me from thousands of years ago. I'm hooked up to DNA. We don't even need karma and rebirth. We got DNA. We could use karma and rebirth if we want them to. I'm just saying, for the sake of this, let's just say DNA. We got this DNA, and it's got just chock full of conditioning. It's nothing but conditioning. DNA is nothing but a bunch of patterns, and it's something that we know moves, because I can trace this DNA right straight back to Africa. So there can't be any personal responsibility, but we're not saying that there's nothing here. We're just saying it's not a Fred here. So there's no place for guilt, shame, or blame. If you want to encourage someone to continue to do this, go through the same pattern that they're doing, fill them full of guilt, shame, and blame, and they'll continue doing whatever the hell it is that you don't like. Cut them free, and that pattern might go away. But it can't go away as long as you're filling them full of guilt, shame, and blame because I'm the one that did da da da. It's just out of their hands. As I'm speaking now, as someone who was active alcoholic for 25 years, I got a pretty good idea of how that works. But you see it in everything. It's not just in alcohol addiction. It's in any kind of addiction. It's in all kinds of. It's just in everything, because everything, just about it, all these patterns are addictive. So, the responsibility falls on the unit. That's where it falls. That's the reason in recovery, I went out, for instance, and I went out and made amends for all my stuff, even though it put me in jail. You know, I didn't cut any corners. I took this very seriously. I didn't cut any corners in non-duality either. And that willingness to go the full distance has really paid off for me. Jail or no jail. I wouldn't trade where I am for anything. This is just fantastic. You know, I mean, I couldn't. But I wouldn't. It's just fantastic, exactly like it is. But this is the reason that the unit goes out and makes amends, is so that that which is not the unit so can see, oh my God, would you look at this unskillful pattern? Because as we begin to spot those unskillful patterns, as we just watch them, as we just notice them, and we don't have to look at it as being good patterns or bad patterns. There are skillful patterns and unskillful patterns. And this goes all the way to the stuff that we despise, the really random acts of violence and all that stuff, is that the responsibility absolutely falls on the unit. I notice that most of those people die. So it's the unit gets caught on the hook, but not the person, because there's no person there. So if something was someone, I can think of some people that in my mind have wronged me terribly and personally, you know, go back and find some of that stuff, dig it up. And when I look at it, I can say, well, you know, I didn't do anything and neither did they. Do you see that? They didn't do it either. They didn't do anything that they couldn't have done, that they could have done differently. They did exactly what they were supposed to do, whether I like it or not, whether they like it or not. They just did what they did. But the responsibility does lie to some extent on those units. I mean, the responsibility is on the unit. It's got to go somewhere. Might as well go to the unit. You know, it can't go to the individual, because it can't go to the personality, because there's no individual me there. So I don't know if it's been helpful, but I'm thinking it might have been. And you're welcome to always drop me an email. Let me know. Talk to you later, my friends. Bye-bye.